And this I saw in the night visions upon a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. And the little horn, for whom they were three of the first horns, plucked up by the roots. Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. We'll stop reading there. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for the privilege to have the Word of God, to open the Word and read the Word. And Father, thank you for all the singing of the songs and for loving us and caring about us. And thank you, Lord, that you did save us one day. Now we're looking in this precious Word. It's inspired of God, given to us. And you said all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so I pray you to help us take this Scripture and share it as you would have us to do so. We praise you and thank you and give you glory for what you do. I pray, speak to our hearts, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look at this tonight, I want you to see in this dream that Daniel had, it corresponds with the second chapter of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar and his vision that he had of the image and the head of gold and arms and breast of silver and then brass and then iron. And then finally the toes and feet made iron mixed with clay. And so this corresponds with that, these four beasts. Let me say this. In chapter 2, you're looking at the kingdoms of the Gentiles like man sees them. Gold, silver, brass, and iron. In chapter number 7, we're seeing them like God sees them. They're like beasts. It's nothing. It's not the glitter. It's not the glamour that they're seeing in chapter 2. But it's a beastly thing. Notice these four beasts came up from the sea. And the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Now this, of course, is Nebuchadnezzar and his coming up and his appearance and all that he did. And the wings were plucked out and so forth. And he was brought down and given a heart of a man. But look in verse 5, another beast, the second to a bear. And this speaks of the Medes and the Persians that took over, and two arms of silver. And here he had three ribs in his mouth. Talks about their devouring, their power to take over and destroy much flesh. Verse 6, a leopard speaks of Grecian Empire and Alexander the Great. And number 4 there had four wings, speaks of its speed and also the fact of its foreheads, that after the death of Alexander the Great, 4 generals, the kingdom was divided between them. And so that speaks of that. Then the last one is a fourth beast in verse number 7. Dreadful and terrible. Didn't say what it looked like. Just said dreadful and terrible is this beast. I want to talk about that just a minute. But I want you to look with me in verse number 12 of this chapter. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now, they lost their dominion, but they kept on continuing on. I want to show you something in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 2. Revelation 13, verse number 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Same three beasts we just talked about here in Daniel read about. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And talking about the Antichrist, this fourth beast. Here what we're seeing is a fact that there is a continuation of these kingdoms. Even though they fall one to another, there's still a continuation of the influence and of their empires on down to the end. From Nebuchadnezzar right on down to the very end, you find somewhat of some of all of it. And then you come down to the very end, it's a mixture, and it is awful and a terrible thing. And looking at it here in verse number 7 of our text, and how that it looked a fourth dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly, had iron teeth, and devoured and brake in pieces, stamped the residue of the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it and had 10 horns. Now tonight I want to preach just for a few minutes on this subject. The little horn, but big problems. Little horn, but big problems. Somebody called it like this, said the little horn with a big toot. Be pretty good. But there's a little horn, but caused big problems, and is going to cause big problems. Here is history written in advance. Really, the Medes, when Daniel had this, Belshazzar was still on the throne. So Nebuchadnezzar had come and gone, but Belshazzar was still there. And here he's given the history of the Gentile empire. Let me also say this, directly there's no mention of the church in the book of Daniel. And we're not talking about the church, we're not talking about rapture, we're not talking about that kind of thing. He deals with nations of Gentiles. Now, in this, we can think of it like this, Gentiles and Jewish people and the church. But in the church, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. It's all just ones, saved, born again people of God in the church. But outside of that, you have this mixture. And so he's dealing with the Gentiles and their rule in that day. Israel had been set aside. God had set aside, went to the Gentiles. And of course, Jesus was presented to Israel again in the New Testament, but rejected. And now he's given us a history of the Gentile world. And remember this, God loves a Gentile just as much as he ever loved a Jew. He just chose a Jew for a special purpose. And they're no better, but they're just as important, one as he is the other. And God's people, the Jewish people, are special people because they're chosen for a special purpose. And God's still going to fulfill that purpose in their life. Israel is still important in God's sight. And don't worry about it. It's all going to wind up right. It doesn't make any difference what the Arabs say. It doesn't make any difference what the president says or anybody else says. It's going to wind up right. And Israel will have a kingdom. And there will be a ruler sitting on the throne of David. And that will take place. And tonight, I hope this will be at least some encouragement to us of what we're going to say when we get down to the end of it. But in lesson number one, look at the appearing of this little horn, verse number 8. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And so here's this little horn comes, and he plucks up three other horns. And this speaks of the Antichrist. Look in Revelation 17. Revelation chapter number 17 and verse number 12. We'll start reading there. I don't know how many of these verses I want to read, but let's look at this. In Revelation 17. Now, Revelation and Daniel dovetail together, so we have to have both. In verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have deceived no kingdom as yet, yet receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the lamb, and the lamb shall overcome them. And he is the Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now there's a message, but I won't preach it tonight. But I want you to know that in the end result, it's going to come out all right. And Jesus is going to rule and reign. He said he would, and he will. And so we'll not go into the rest of that chapter right now, but I want you to see those few verses about those 10 horns. They give their power unto the beast. They're going to be a 10 federation of some kind of a kingdoms and kings or leaders in the world. It has been projected to be, United Nations have been projected to be European common market. It's guessed to be this or that or the other. All I can tell you is tonight for a fact, there will be 10 horns come up. And probably 10 nations, and it'll be 10 leaders and that. And one's going to come up out of them that's going to take over three of them, uproot them, and take predominance in these horns that we're seeing here. And so we need to understand the fact that this is Antichrist we're talking about now. I'm glad the church of the living God is going to get out before he can come to power. Amen. We've got to get out of here. You really believe we'll go out before he comes? I do believe that with all of my heart. I want to show you something else in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3 and 4. I want you to look at this with me. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And by the way, let me say today, we're in a day of falling away. And we're in that day that's falling away. And I know the church has got to get out, except there come a falling away first. Well, where am I? I'm getting ahead of myself. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now we get the key to this fact that in the mid-tribulation period, and it talks about later in chapter 7 of Daniel, time and a half time, 3.5 years, that latter 3.5 years, in the midst of the 7-year tribulation period, the Antichrist will go into the temple in Jerusalem, declare himself to be God, and demand to be worshipped. And Israel will realize then that he is not God. And things are going to begin happening quickly for Israel from then on. But I want to call your attention to the fact, the son of perdition. The son of perdition. Now, that's only spoken about concerning Antichrist and Judas Iscariot as son of perdition. In fact, there's three ways that word perdition is used. It means destruction. It means no more. It means done away. No hope, if you please. And here he calls him the son of perdition. And I want to show you something about Judas. Look in John chapter 17. John 17, 12. John chapter 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And we know he's talking about Judas Iscariot there. In fact, he is the only one that he ever called a devil, is Judas Iscariot. John chapter 6, verse 70 and 71. When they had went away and the multitudes had, then he asked the disciples, they go away. And Peter said, whom should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And then Jesus said to him that one of you is a devil. And he's speaking of Judas, and then went on verse 71, said he spoke of Judas Iscariot. And so Jesus said he was a devil. And here we find the son of perdition. I'm talking about the Antichrist. Here we find Judas Iscariot. And you believe that Judas Iscariot will come back? I say they both called the son of perdition. Now you deduct what you want to deduct from that. They're son of perdition. And so that's the only ones you find called that. But it not only speaks of a person, but also speaks of a place. Acts 1:25 says that Judas said he went to his own place. Went to his own place. But I want you to show you something else about the place. Look in Revelation chapter 17 again. Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 8 and 11. The beast that thou sawest was, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, that dwell on the earth should wonder, whose name were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. He was, is not, yet is. In verse number 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and he is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. And so there it's called a place, a son of a person, a place of destruction. It's also if you want to keep it alliterated, a predicament or a condition that is referred to in Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're not those who make profession, don't really believe, and draw back and go back out in destruction and go to hell. We're not like that. We don't do that. We're saved. If you're really saved, you're saved forever. Amen. And Jesus has a power to keep you. Amen. And he knew who Judas Iscariot was. Judas Iscariot was never saved and lost. He simply said those disciples that he had, only one that was ever lost, and that was Judas Iscariot. And he was a devil from the beginning. And Jesus knew that. So it wasn't the fact he got saved and lost salvation. It's the fact that he was numbered the 12 and lost his position in that number because he was a devil from the beginning. And so he went to his own place, went to that place called perdition. And here we find a person and a place and a predicament or a condition that men may be in. And so those that draw back and not really saved, they go to the same place. What an awful thought. Let me say this tonight. I just toss it out. If you happen to be here lost without God, you need to think about this, because hell's an awful place. And hell will be cast in the lake of fire one day forever and forever. And we need to understand that God always pays off. It may not be a time you think he's going to pay, but he'll come around. His judgment's always right on time. And you can rest assured of it. Number two, I want you to notice his activity. He speaks with great swelling words. Look in verse number 8. And the latter part of that verse, it says, our text I'm talking about now. Our text says, a mouth speaking great things. The Antichrist is going to come out speaking great things. I mean, he's going to be a great speaker. He's going to be able to hold people's attention. He's going to be able to convince them that he's the leader that can do it. He's the one who can lead us out of the mess. He's going to convince people of all of that. And so he's going to be a great speaker. Look in verse number 20 of Daniel chapter number 7. Latter part of that chapter verse says, and a mouth that spake very great things. A mouth that spake very great things. Look in verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Speak great words against the Most High. So he's going to speak great things. He's going to be a great orator. And he's going to be able to do that and lead people, as it were, and go with that. I want you to look with me, please, in Daniel chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6. Daniel 13, 5 and 6. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. He's going to blaspheme God. He's going to blaspheme the temple. He's going to blaspheme those that are in heaven. He's going to blaspheme everything that's right and good. You can rest assured it's going to be the fullness of evil. The epitome of evil is going to be presented in the Antichrist. And you think you've seen something now happening in our day. You think it's bad now. You wait till the church is gone and the saved are out of here and the Holy Ghost escorts us out. And Antichrist comes to power. Wickedness that you and I've heard things and seen things and told about things and read about things. I never even dreamed possible in my early years of life, even early years of preaching. I'm telling you, it's coming to pass in our day, and we've got to get out of here. Jesus is going to come and get us out. And so, but notice he made war. Look in verse 21 of chapter 8, chapter 7, book of Daniel. Verse 21, I beheld, and the same horns made war with the saints and prevailed against them. The same horns made war with the saints and prevailed. Now when it says saints, not talking about church. Saints there is talking about the children of Israel and those who will be saved during tribulation. Will there be some saved in tribulation? There will be some saved in tribulation. In fact, there are going to be some flaming evangelists going out of Israel preaching the gospel. And there'll be people saved, but it's dangerous to hear the gospel and not be saved. And I'll give you that in just a moment, but I want you to know God, he's going to make war. Look in verse 25. Break it in the middle of that verse. And shall wire out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And in other words, doing away with the feast and all that of Israel. He's going to try to change everything, and everything's going to evolve around him. Man thinks everything revolves around him now, but it doesn't. God's still in control and will have the final word and the final say. But look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse number 9. Even him, talking about the Antichrist now, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. By the way, even in our day, don't get misled because you think somebody may be doing some signs or some wonderful things, may seem miraculous. Preacher, you believe there can be some of that done today? I believe they can. The devil has power. And there's going to be a lot of deceiving going on. Fact is, these people sitting in churches on Sunday every day in America that is deceived about what's really true, what's really right. And they're lost without God and don't even know it. Hey, they say they worship God, but they're worshiping another God. Galatians talked about, they talk about another Jesus. They talk about Jesus, not the same Jesus we talk about, because it doesn't line up the Word of God. And if you line up the Word of God, same Jesus will line up the Word of God if we're talking about the same Jesus we're talking about. Amen. He doesn't change. He's always the same. Well, enough of that. I just thought I'd plug that in. Verse number 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Those that perish will be deceived because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. God said there'll be a day Antichrist will come to power, and those who've heard truth, heard preaching, heard their witness, and would not believe it, that God would let them believe a lie and they'd be damned because they would not believe the truth. You say, would a holy God do that? Same holy God's going to cast people into hell. Same holy God's going to cast them in the lake of fire. Same holy God is going to judge sin. He's holy, holy, holy. And there is a thing of saying no too long and putting God off until God said that's enough, even in this life. But there'll be a day when the church is gone, and you're talking about people being deceived today, you wait till the church is out of here. They will really be deceived, and they will believe a lie. And you say, well, preacher, I'll just wait until the church gets raptured out, then I'll just repent and get saved, and I won't believe Antichrist, I won't go with Antichrist. You won't do any such thing. If you've heard the gospel, God said he'd turn you over reprobate in mind. Only way you can come to God is because God seeks you out and God convicts you and draws you. And when God quits doing that and sends delusion to you and you start believing a lie instead of the truth, you'll go to hell just as sure as you sit where you sit. God's the only one can change that. He said he wouldn't. He said he'd let you go because you heard and would not believe, made light of, in other words, of the being saved, wouldn't listen to it, put it off and said no. But let's talk about, we've talked about the appearing of this Antichrist and his activity. That's just a little bit of it. But I want to show you, he's in a basement if you want to keep it alliterated, but I call it just his end, his downfall, demise, whatever words you want to put there. But verse number 25, the latter part of that verse, and they shall be given into his hand until time, times, and dividing of time. That's time, 1 year, times 2 years, dividing of time, a half a year, 3.5 years, latter part of tribulation period, going to be a mess. And verse number 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. I want you to get this tonight. What's going on in our world today? What's going to happen with the Antichrist coming to power? Don't worry. For the saved, it's not over with. We're coming back with him. He's going to establish a kingdom. The Ancient of Days, he's going to set up a kingdom. Saints will rule and reign with him. I say hallelujah and praise his name. Look at verse number 26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume, destroy unto the end. Talking about destroying, getting rid of the Antichrist. Verse number 11. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. At getting rid of the Antichrist. I want you to turn with me in Revelation 19, verse 20. Revelation 19, verse number 20. Revelation 19, verse 20. Listen to what happens to the Antichrist. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet. False prophet answers to the Holy Spirit. For us that are saved, he's a false prophet. He's that works with the beast, the Antichrist. And the devil's always trying to imitate God. He wants to be like God. And so he tries to imitate the Trinity. And notice he said the beast was taken with him, the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him. And he's going to do miracles and going to deceive. With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now I'm just going to toss this one out to you. Look at chapter 20 and verse number 10. Now in between times, you have the 1,000-year millennium reign when the devil's cast in a bottomless pit and kept fire for 1,000 years and then turned loose. But notice verse number 10 of chapter 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now this is 1,000 years later after the Antichrist and false prophet are cast in. They were cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what God says. Amen. That's what God says. And some says, well, they go to hell, they'll just be burned up real quick and that'll be it. That's not what God said. Tormented forever and forever, day and night, no rest. And God meant what he said. And Antichrist will go there, false prophet will go there. And the devil himself is going to be cast into that place. I say hallelujah. I'm glad I read the end of the book. I know how it winds up. I don't know whether we'll go any further than Daniel or not. We'll pray and see what God said. But I wanted to wind this up tonight. That Antichrist is coming to power. He is on the horizon somewhere. Things are shaping up, getting ready. We've got to get out of here. But when he does, he's going to deceive. He's going to wreck and ruin, make mess. He doesn't make it a mess. The devil is already. But I'm glad, thank God, the church of the living God is well. She's well. And she's not going down. We're going up. And the devil say what he wants to. The church of the living God is never going to go down. We'll not be destroyed. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. Amen. So we know where we're headed. And how it's going to wind up for us, for those that are unsaved. Let's do our best to start out going after the lost. Going after the lost because they're going to perish. They're going to perish. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the end of the book. And thank you, Lord, for the destruction of Satan. Then all those that believe not the Lord Jesus shall be cast into the lake of fire where they are. And they're all burned forever and ever. Lord, help us to have the compassion for those not saved, those that know not the Lord Jesus, that they may be saved before it's eternally too late. I pray you'd help us burden our hearts, and yet at the same time, help us have joy to look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Lord, we shall move out. I pray for everyone in this house tonight, have your way. Magnify yourself and you get glory in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. Just want you to slip up to your feet.